Good morning, everyone. And I'd like to welcome all of you who are here and also who are joining our service afar through our YouTube website. And God's grace will be with you as we are joining this worship service in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ together. Amen? Amen. Are you ready to give your life again in this worship service? God is expecting you from that sacrifice in the service. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we have, special, announcements from, Gabe, our music director, about the upcoming Curry concert.
Thank you. Good morning, church. It is my pleasure to invite you to be in service to our community by having a smile on your face and being part of our Welcome Wagon team for our Curry Concert Series. It's a very easy way to serve. We just ask that you arrive a few minutes early to stand at the back doors here that enter onto Main Street and then the two entrances that go out on the other end of the building, just so that we can navigate people and welcome them into the building before the concert starts. If you are willing to serve in this capacity, please sign up on the sign-up sheet in the parlor. There's another sign-up sheet on Natalie's desk by the office. And we just need 10 folks, and it's a very easy way. For those people who are looking for community service hours for school or what have you, this will count as community service hours, and we will be willing to do the paperwork for that as well. So we welcome you to join us in that event. Thank you.
Thank you, Gabe. As you might remember, we had a rummage sale 2 weeks ago, and Mary Yeoman.
Thank you. We would like to thank everyone that donated and worked during this time. We made over 4,000, and we also helped 15 different organizations also. So keep collecting. We'll be back in October.
Okay. If you were participating in this rummage sale 2 weeks ago, why don't you stand? We want to recognize you. Okay. Let's give them a round of applause for their missional work. Thank you so much for your work. Thank you. And we have announcements from the United Women in Faith.
Good morning. On behalf of United Women in Faith, as well as our mission committee, I am happy to be able to introduce you to Aline Beitler. I'll get her name right. I know someone with the same last name pronounced differently. She will be giving the presentation on immigration, justice, and law, which will be in the chapel following our service. So, grab your coffee and then head over to the chapel for the presentation.
Thank you, Renee. And also Pastor Bethany.
Good morning. On May 10th, we are having an event for kids and parents called Parents Night Out. This is an event where parents can drop their kids off for a couple of hours of fun with their friends if they need to run some errands or do some other things. This event is organized under member care along with the children and youth. If you would like more information, you may contact Deanna Selmanen. This will be on May 10th from 6 to 8. In the Youth Center.
Thank you so much. And also Joe Winchester, there was a small group just launched for the people who lost their loved ones. So Joe Winchester has an update on that.
Good morning. Stronger Together is the name of a new fellowship of women in our church who have lost their spouses and desire companionship while seeking a purposeful and enjoyable future. Our meetings are the first Thursday of each month from 1:30 to 3 in the Hearth Room. 17 of us gathered for our first meeting April 4th and had such a good time it was voted that we would meet through the summer, except July 4th. Our next meeting is May the 2nd. We delighted in sipping our tea from colorful china cups and sharing fun stories about ourselves and ideas for future gatherings. Any ladies who are welcome to join us at any time. Questions can be directed to me or to Mary Yeomans. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And did you attend our Good Friday community service this year? Just raise your hand if you attend that service. Okay. And we raised $1,100. And this offering will be used for open door female and children shelter. So I'm so grateful. All the musicians we had from the community, and also all the volunteers we had at that time, and all the pastors, around 9 pastors from the community, joined this special Good Friday community service. And also, we raised $7,700 for our newly launched new member ministries. This ministry is for the people in our congregation who has any special needs. So I'm so grateful for your effort and for your support for this ministry through your Easter offering. Thank you so much. Let's give our God the hands of give him applause. Thank you so much. I'm so excited about this new ministry from our member care. If you have any questions about this new ministry, please contact our member care team. And now it's time to greet one another. Why don't you stand up? Let us go to the person we never met before and exchange our names. Okay.
Please stand as you are able and join in the call to worship. Be strong and courageous. The Lord of heaven and earth loves with a steadfast love that does not cease, and his mercy endures forever. May we be faithful to Christ until the very end, come what may.
The crown of life is on
Lord Jesus, sanctify us one and all, more and more each day. Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created.
We'd like to welcome the children to come forward. I know there are kids out there. Good morning, everybody. Today, our lesson comes from the book of John in the Bible. One of the disciples was named Thomas. Thomas heard the other disciples talking about the resurrection and that Jesus was alive, but he doubted. Thomas told the other disciples he wouldn't believe Christ was alive again until he saw the nail marks on Jesus' hands and put his finger in the wound on the side. Jesus understood Thomas. When he saw him, Jesus said, "Do not doubt, but believe." Jesus also said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Let us pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for the Holy Spirit who helps us believe. Amen.
Let us pray together. Dear most gracious God, we give thanks to you for your steadfast goodness and love for our lives. Even though we do not fully understand how deep and wide your love is for us and for the world, we know that you never cease to patiently invite us to participate in your love and to show your love to others. God, we want to grow more in our holiness, which is our love for you and for our neighbors. As we remember John Wesley's missionary comment, "The world is my parish," we see the world is in our parish. God, we ask you to widen our hearts towards the people who are from other cultures in our neighborhood. Let us find the unceasing work of you, your love towards them, and help us find our spots in your work. We remember our neighbors who are suffering in wars. We lift to you those in Palestine, Israel, Ukraine, Russia, Iran, Myanmar, and many others. God, we pray for your peace to be actualized in those places and be with their leaders to find a way for reconciliation and redemption. God, heal our country that is politically and socially divided. Be with our delegates in the General Conference. Help them to discern and follow your will in the decision-making process. Help them humbly kneel down before you to listen to your voices. Let your churches in our denomination be healed, renewed, and revived, and raise a new generation who can be a faithful means of your grace to our country and to all nations. Now we pray the prayer our Lord taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now we come to a time of offering. Please take out our French pad and let us know you are here today with us. Especially those who join our service today for the first time, I'd like to have a time to talk together with you after this service at the parlor area. Please see me after this service. Ushers, would you please come forward? Thank you. Dear God, thank you so much for all the blessings we have in our lives. God, we acknowledge that all the blessings we have are from you. God, as a token of our love and commitment to you, we give these offerings to you. Please, God, use them and use our lives only for your glory. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Please be seated. The scripture reading this morning is from Revelation, chapter 2, verses 12 through 17. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum writes, "These are the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know where you are living, where Satan's throne is, yet you are holding fast to my name, and you did not deny your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you where Satan lives. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel, so that they would eat food sacrificed to idols and engage in sexual immorality. So you also have some who hold on to the teaching of Nicolaitans. Repent then, if not, I will come to you soon and wage war against them with the sword of my mouth. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone, and on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. God, we are here in your presence with our church family. God, we open our hearts towards you. Please, God, speak to our hearts. We will obey your will. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Do you remember the name of our new sermon series today? It is not what we think of our church. It is what Jesus thinks of his church. That is the new sermon series title. As we listen to the messages of the risen Christ to the seven churches in Asia Minor in Revelation chapters 2 through 3, we will have time to review our church and our denomination and the churches in the United States. Let me quote David Ong. He says, in the ancient church, seven churches addressed by John were widely regarded as a symbol of the universal church. What does that mean? Here, these messages have been given to the church universally, even today's churches, and also including our church, Midland First. And Thomas Constable says, the message of the seven letters are applicable both to today's individual local churches and to the Christians who are in them. You might think, Pastor Young, the book of Revelation was written between AD 92 through 96, during the reign of Emperor Domitian. But as we can hear from the voices in our church tradition, those messages were given, has been given to the churches who are living today's lives. Amen? Amen. Okay. Now, I think we can, get three lessons from the, scripture we just read together. The first one is this, the new knowledge of Jesus Christ. The new knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you read carefully, all the seven messages that were given to the seven churches in Asia Minor, no exception, each of the messages starts with new revelation about Jesus Christ, who Jesus Christ is to the churches in the world, what Jesus Christ is doing right now among the churches we have in the world. His message to Ephesus begins with, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lamps, which means God still exercises his authority over the church leaders, including his messengers. And also God knows what's going on in the churches right now, because he is walking around the churches in the world. And also, Jesus' message to Smyrna starts with this. These are the words of the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. Jesus Christ, who has become the first fruit of the resurrection for all Christians, now the resurrected Jesus Christ is speaking to his church. And what about today's message? It says, these are the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. This means that Jesus Christ is our ultimate judge. He will judge us with his mighty words. We can find life and death in Jesus Christ's words as we obey or disobey his words. In his words, we can find blessings and curses according to our obedience and disobedience. Do you have a Jesus who is our judge? Each of the churches in the world must unwaveringly stand on their confession of their faith in Jesus Christ, which is revealed perfectly in the Bible. Our life is the same. Our family is the same. Our work, our businesses are the same. Our life, family, and businesses must be steadfastly based on our faith in Jesus Christ. That is why, in the message of Jesus Christ for the churches in Asia Minor, they all start with special revelation about who Jesus Christ is. The second lesson we can learn from the scripture today is, I believe, the omniscience of God. Have you ever heard the name, the word omniscience? What does that mean? God knows everything. Jesus Christ knows the church's persecution and their faithfulness to him. Let us read Revelation 2:13 together. I know where you are living, where Satan's throne is, yet you are holding fast to my name, and you did not deny your faith in me, even the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan lives. I know where you are living. You are living in Midland. You are living in Sanford. And your church is at the center of Midland. I know what you have gone through. I know where you are spiritually. I know you. I know all the missional effort you have done for me and for my glory. I know that. Jesus said, I know you, your challenges you are facing right now. Starting this, Tuesday, the General Conference will be held in North Carolina for the next 2 weeks. We need to pray for the General Conference and also all the delegates we have from all over the world. But please know that God knows where we are. God knows our faithfulness, and also God knows our unfaithfulness. God knows everything. One of the clear pictures of the churches that are in line with our God is the fear, holy fear about who God is. God knows everything. Amen? Amen. This scripture teaches us about the doctrine of the omniscience of God, which means God knows everything. Even things in our innermost being, as our creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Jesus says, I know where you are living, where Satan's throne is. Satan's throne might refer to the magnificent altar of Zeus and many other temples dedicated to various gods and goddesses in Pergamon. Or it might refer to Pergamon as the center of emperor worship at the time. Either way, it means the church was not in an easy situation, which means the church was in persecution. Even though the church was in persecution and one of its members was martyred, the Christians there did not deny their faith in Jesus Christ. This teaches us that a witnessing church will be a persecuted church. We have that calling for persecution as we try to faithfully hold on to the faith in Jesus Christ. The churches will be persecuted. And also Jesus Christ knows our sins. Revelation 2:14 through 15. Let us read this scripture together. I have thought I'm a creature of a day. No, I'm so sorry. This is not the Revelation 12. Let me read, Revelation 2:14 through 15. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to a stumbling block before the people of Israel, so that they would eat food sacrificed to idols and engage in sexual immorality. So you also have some who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. According to Numbers 25, Balaam, who was a pagan prophet, told Balak, who was the king of Moab, that he could overcome the Israelites if he would involve them in Moabite religious feast that included sacred prostitution. This would render them unfaithful to God and consequently subject to his discipline. The pagans in Pergamum likewise were evidently encouraging the Christians to join in their pagan feast and the sexual immorality that often accompanied those feasts. The Nicolaitans evidently regarded these sins as acceptable under the pretense of Christian liberty. You'll be fine. You'll be okay. We have the freedom in Jesus Christ, so we can do this. See, a lot of people here in Pergamum, they do this. There's a room for us to do that. But they were in trouble. That is why Jesus Christ quoted Numbers 25 to correct the Christians in Pergamum. That is why Jesus Christ said, I have the two-edged sword, which means I have the word of God. What does that mean? We need to be rectified and corrected and re-guided continually through God's word. But many times, we just try to, you know, depend on our own experiences, our own understanding, and our own knowledge when we try to make important decisions. That is why John Wesley wanted to become a man of one book. Homo unius livili, he said, I have thought I'm a creature of a day, passing through life as an arrow through the air. I'm a spirit come from God and returning to God, just hovering over the great gulf, till a few moments, hence I am no more sin. I drop into an unchangeable eternity. I want to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land safe on that happy shore. God himself has condescended to teach the way. For this very end, he came from heaven. He hath written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge enough for me. Let me be homo unius livili, a man of one book. Here then I am, far from the busy ways of man. I sit down alone. Only God is here. In his presence, I open. I read his book for this end, to find the way to heaven. What does that mean? John Wesley always wanted to be sanctified continually through his life. So he wanted to be guided by the one book, which is the Bible, to find a way to be perfected in his love for God, in his love for the neighbors he had. Yes, God is speaking to us, especially at this time, as we are entering into the transitional time. We need to be guided by this one book. Amen? Amen. Last but not least, let us read in Hebrews 4:12 together. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Last but not least, the scripture today teaches about our repentance. Yes, we know that Jesus Christ knows where we are living, our spiritual challenges we are facing every day, and also how we are living. If he knows everything, what is next? Then we need to repent of our sins. Our understanding of the omniscience of God, who knows everything, always leads us to repentance. Revelation chapter 2, verse 16, it says, repent, then if not, I will come to you soon and wage war against them with the sword of my mouth. When we talk about the omniscience of God, people usually go back to Psalm 139 because that reveals how deeply God is omniscient about our life. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. And then at the last part of the psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thought. See if there is any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. I know, God, you know everything. Even the things I have in the innermost of my being, you know everything about me. Then what is the response to that knowledge about God's omniscience? Is our repentance. Here the psalmist says, God, I repented. Just search me. Try to find any wickedness I have in my heart. I'm ready. Search my heart. Please remember, if we have the new knowledge about Jesus Christ, that always has to lead to our repentance. By doing so, we can recover our fellowship with God and understand what God tries to do in and through our lives and participate in God's work of salvation. As we are entering into the new season, I hope and pray that Midland First can be exposed to God's guidance, his revelation about who he is to our church. And also I pray that based on the new knowledge we have, we can have a chance to see ourselves. If there is anything that we need to confess in our prayers to our God so that we can be renewed, we can be recovered, and we can be strengthened again to live a new life together after this transition. Please, Midland First, remember there will be rewards all the time because God knows what we are trying to do. This is God's new invitation for all of us. Come to me. Find yourself who you are as you find who I am in the scripture. And I'm ready to forgive you. And also I'm ready to reward you. I think that is the message we have today for our church. Please, brothers and sisters, we will have a general conference. I don't know what will happen, frankly. But I know for sure God is holding us into his heart. And also he knows our concern and our challenges. But he is ready to lead us into a new picture of his kingdom through Midland First. Can you say amen to that? Amen. So let us invite this season with our prayers. Not only praying for our denomination, the general conference, but also praying for ourselves. If there is anything that we have to be repent of, then God will forgive our sins and allow us to have a new life. Amen. Amen. Let us pray together. Dear God, thank you so much for your words of assurance that you know everything we are going through in our lives. God, there will be delegates from all over the world in North Carolina to talk about the issues that have divided our churches. But we know that you are in charge because you are our creator, redeemer, and sustainer. God, help us to join you in our prayers so that we can greet this new season with a new mind, a new attitude, and also new resolution. And we pray this prayer in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid of anything. May God go with you wherever you go. May our Lord Jesus Christ continually show his goodness and mercy to you. May the Holy Spirit give you strength and power so that you can be constantly guided by God's word. Now, go in peace. Amen.